Lately, one of the most common questions I get is, do you really love the Bare Face skincare that you talk and you post about? Well, the answer is yes. I've been consistently using a routine that a Bare Face skincare specialist selected for me during my free consultation, and my skin is glowing. The texture has improved, and I love how simple the routine is. Just from following Bare Face founder, nurse practitioner Jordan Harper on Instagram, I've learned so much about my skin and what it needs to look healthier. You too can text one of Jordan's skincare specialist for a complimentary consult and get started on the routine that is best for your skin type. They have a couple of new products that I think you'll be excited to try too, including the Everyday Hero reusable eye patches. We love that Bare Face Girls are big fans of the podcast, so they have offered Got It From My Mama listeners 15% off their first purchase by using the code MAMA15 at checkout. Tucker and I have a product that we are so excited to tell you about. Coat Defense has been a game changer in trying to keep Tucker smelling good and looking handsome, even though he loves to roam all over our property and get dirty. Coat Defense is a daily preventative powder that reduces the number of baths I have to give Tucker. Do you know how hard it is to wash an 80-pound golden retriever? It also eliminates the bacteria that can cause odor in the first place. And unlike a typical deodorant or spray, Coat Defense is healthier. It doesn't mask the odor, it eliminates it. So there's less scratching, paw licking, and head shaking, and a whole lot more cuddle time with mom because he just stays so much fresher. Tucker's friends at Coat Defense are offering you 15% off to try the daily preventative powder or any of the other awesome products they offer for your pet's health. Just use code MAMA15 at checkout. I am so glad that today's guest and I became friends earlier this year. Amy Brown is literally in the ears of millions of listeners each week. And as much as I admire her for her radio broadcast job on country music's most successful syndicated radio show, The Bobby Bones Show, it's who Amy is as a person that makes her listeners often feel like friends fast with her. They love and they respect her. Amy's story has sent me deep and frankly difficult parts. So as I listened back to our conversation, I decided to edit this one into two parts. This one, the first part, is fascinating. In addition to getting to know Amy, you are going to hear about how an audition at a shopping mall in a very roundabout way led Amy to her first job in morning radio. In part two, we will walk through her journey of fertility, adoption, divorce after adoption, the loss of her parents, and just how dark those days got for her. But even in those valleys, Amy offers encouragement and advice. Hey, but first, let's get started with this first portion of my conversation with Amy Brown. So I'm guessing that, like so many other people who listen can identify with this, but I start my morning with coffee, Jesus, and Amy Brown on the Bobby Bones Show. Oh.
Well, I mean, I think for some people, it's are they listening in their car because they're on their way to work, or they're taking the kids to school, or, you know, some loyal listeners are pulling it up on, iHeartRadio or listening to the podcast whenever they want.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, radio is commutes. I don't know if they're still happening. I know that they are, but sometimes I'm kind of like, hello, is anybody there?
Are you still there? Yeah. Numbers say there's about 10 million people there a week, which is crazy.
Well, I figure, I know like our listeners in DC, they're in traffic sometimes, or in the DC area, they're in traffic for 2 hours. So that's, we're like, okay. Got them locked in. But yeah, with podcasting now, people can sort of listen to radio whenever they want. But when I started, that wasn't the case.
Right.
I mean, you had to catch the morning show live if you wanted to hear something.
And occasionally you couldn't go back.
We'd occasionally load up clips to iTunes, but not all of them. Uh-huh. And you could download them there, I guess. But that was, you know, back in the day. So anyway, it's evolved. But that's interesting because you're not driving to school or anything.
My morning routine is getting up, drinking my cup of coffee, trying to get in the word or read a devotion or do something. And then I listen on my phone on the app of the local, you know, the Big 98 here in Nashville. Okay. But I listen through the app. I prop up my phone on a certain place in the bathroom and I get ready with it. So there's, you know, a good, I'd say 40, 45 minute chunk that I listen to every morning.
And I love that. Yeah, I had no idea. And that's great that you, that also allows other people to know like, oh yeah, I can do that through the app and you're still listening to live radio.
Right, right. And then I miss that gap where I run back through the kitchen, you know, grab my banana and my water, whatever it is, jump in the car, and then it's on in the car. And I'm still an avid radio listener. I'm not an aux cord person. I have never really been. So I'm still, I don't know if that's the old school broadcast media in me, but I still watch the local news and I listen to radio.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's why I went on a little tangent once you said that, because I'm like, oh, so many people are my friends or my peers. Mm-hmm. They're not, a lot of them are listening to terrestrial radio.
Right, right.
They're consuming it in other ways just because life is crazy. But obviously, Connor, your son, is being played on the radio, which I think is still a huge deal for artists.
Absolutely. And I think people don't realize how important the radio journey of a young artist's journey is, of getting play on the radio. I think that people assume, because of the digital age and the way that we consume music, information, and everything, that maybe it's more about Spotify, Apple Music, TikTok, all of that. But at the end of the day, radio play matters so much for the success and the longevity of an artist.
Yeah, I was listening to Morgan Wallen's song the other day. Well, every day. I'm obsessed with Thought You Should Know, which is a couple years old.
Yeah, but it's still so good.
I can't get enough of it. I pull up on iHeartRadio and I just type in Morgan Wallen and I listen to all of his songs on repeat. But Thought You Should Know, I probably play the most. And, you know, he's telling his mom, like, you know, his songs on the radio. And that line gets me every time. And it's exciting, especially being someone in radio.
Yeah.
To hear, you know, an artist calling home and wanting to say to their mom, like, hey, I thought you should know, like, hey, my song's on the radio. And I know that it's still special for artists, because as I host Women of iHeart Country, and we do a lot of premieres for mm-hmm. new up and coming artists, and I love that they're all women, of course.
Absolutely.
But they'll film themselves in their car, like listening to the show and hearing their song on the radio for the first time.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the coolest parts of our job. And I'm glad that part's not lost.
Yeah, so I don't think it is.
Thank you as a mom of an artist sharing that with me. Yeah.
No, that's still the most exciting thing. And I told you, I recently had the opportunity to do your podcast, and I mentioned it on there, but just how excited we get. Connor's been in the top 30 for a little bit, so now he's on your weekly show that you do with Bobby for the weekly top 30. And just when we hear you guys, like, is Amy going to say it? Is Bobby going to say it? Who's going to say Connor Smith with number whatever? You know, that's just still so exciting. Well, your foray into broadcasting is so very different than mine or anybody who kind of traditionally, I mean, I went to college, I studied broadcasting, I did an internship at the local television station. It led to my first reporting job, which led to anchoring, which, you know, all the things through the years. But yours did not happen that way at all. You were working in sales. Can you kind of tell people the story of how you ended up on the Bobby Bones Show?
Well, speaking of listening to the radio, that's what I was doing. After I graduated college, I had been in a relationship. Sort of thought, okay, we're probably going to get married. I really did feel that. And I thought I would just move to where he lived. Like, that just was the plan. Mm-hmm. And then we broke up. And I thought, okay, well, I guess that's not going to be the plan. I'll move back to Austin, because I was at Texas A&M in College Station. And then got back to Austin, moved in with my sister, and didn't have a job yet. And so I would spend a lot of mornings listening to the Bobby Bones Show. I didn't even know who they were. I just moved back. They were a new morning show.
It was a pop format, right?
It was pop. Yeah. So okay. Top 40. It was Bobby, Lunchbox, and this girl, Jill. And Jill was my favorite. And again, didn't have a job yet. So I think I was driving around, maybe looking for jobs or meeting up with friends to hike the trail or do something. Uh-huh. But in the mornings, I would listen to them. And again, my boyfriend had just broken up with me. I don't think I had a lot going on. And I would start talking to my sister and her husband and be like, you know, Bobby did this or Jill did that. And they're like, who are you talking about? And it was a new show, and it wasn't as well known as it eventually became mm-hmm. in Austin and as it started to grow. But yeah, nobody in my life really listened to them or knew, but I mean, I talked about them as if they were my friends, which is the goal, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely. What we try that's to what do. You want to happen.
And they had won me over. Then I got a job in sales, and I had about an hour commute to work every day.
What were you selling?
I worked for a natural stone importer, exporter
like
situation.
Tile,
yeah,
that type
but
of thing.
I was never working with the end user, just wholesalers.
Okay.
So, our company would import it, and then we would sell it to the fabricator, basically.
Okay,
I mean, sometimes the end user would want to, if they were really picky, they would come in and want to look at the big slabs and be like, oh, I want this vein running through my island. And then the funny part is sometimes we'd pull out so many different slabs, and it's just interesting how different personalities can be and how particular some people can be. Mm-hmm. Or to me, the marble or the granite or whatever it is, it all looks exactly the same. My job sometimes was at the warehouse doing that, or out meeting customers, taking care of them, finding out their needs, which mm-hmm. I think that's the type of sales I'm good at. I don't know that I'd be great at sales, like where you have to sort of push a little bit.
Yeah.
I had a product that people need. So my wholesale,
they came
clients,
to you. Yeah.
They're going to come to me. Otherwise they're not going to have it. So I was good at, relationships, connection, that sort of thing, which is feel like what we do now with our listeners, building a relationship and connection with them. And so I always enjoyed working with people in that way and talking. You have to do a lot of talking when you're in sales and taking care of people. But I was listening to the show one day and Jill was leaving and I thought, oh my gosh, she is my favorite. And maybe a few months before that, I had seen Bobby at Culver's, which is
I knew that the ice cream, the burger ice cream place came into the story, but I couldn't remember how.
Right. So I was only up north meeting my friend at this Culver's because her dad owned it. And she
up north
was
meaning up north.
North Austin.
Austin.
because I was meeting her there after I got off work to, I don't know what, I don't even honestly know what we were meeting there for, but I was with her and I look over and I said, oh, I think that's Bobby Bones. And she said, who? And I was like, you're not a member of the Kiss Club? Because I'd signed up for that. So I knew what they looked like because there was no social media. You know, you had to go to the Kiss FM website to see what radio people looked
even
like,
Uh-huh.
Or any radio station website. So then I said hi to him, and Andrea, since her dad owned the place, she was like, here, take him some ice cream coupons. So I gave him ice cream coupons. I was like, I love the show. Listen every day. Jill's my favorite. And we sort of left it at that-ish. Well, that same friend, Andrea, fast forward, when Jill was leaving, they decided to hold auditions at the mall. And the radio station did. And my friend Andrea said, you have to go. I was like, I'm just getting off work. I'm not going to the mall. What am I going to even say?
They were going to audition for Bobby's new co-host at the mall.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't realize at the time. Yeah, it was like a radio bit.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing, which was crushing to me because I made it to the top two. So anyway, there's so many little nuggets in between, but I'm like, is that really important? But I mean, I guess it is, because I show up at the mall. I make my friend Andrea meet me there, and I am literally the second to last person in line because people had been there all day.
So describe to me the scene. Are you getting up on a stage?
Yes.
And you have to just do a little bit with someone or an exchange? Was Bobby even there?
They were all there. Bobby, Jill, Lunchbox, promotions people, and they were like judges. And I thought, these people have been here. There's some people auditioning all day. Some people have signs and little skits and outfits. It was all planned out. I'm in my work clothes. I have nothing. But Andrea was like, hey, I'm going to meet you and I'm going to bring you a Culver's hat and a bowl full of Halloween candy because it was Halloween time. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, if you have the Culver's hat, he'll remember you're the girl from Culver's. And so I walked up to the judge's table before I went on stage and I said, hey, I'm Amy. I was like, here's some Halloween candy. And then Bobby, we met at Culver's and there was the Culver's hat. And he was like, oh, yeah. And then I got on stage. I honestly don't remember everything he asked me, but I do remember that I was asked who I voted for in the last election.
Whoa.
So this was 2005. So it would have been the 2004 election. And I voted for George Bush. And at that time, with everything that was going on in the world, you know, especially in Austin, which leans a little more liberal, that wasn't the most popular answer. And so I remember people booing me in the crowd, but I was fine with it. I didn't care. I was like, okay, next question. It didn't really faze me, but I had nothing else prepared. I think I said my name and that I was born in Austin. I went to Texas A&M and I worked in sales. Like, it was nothing crazy.
Because a lot of people probably had gimmicks and
they had everything. Yeah, yeah. And I got off stage. I said, well, that was fun. And that was, you know, cool. I can always say I auditioned at the mall to be on the radio. And then the next morning I'm getting ready for work and I have the radio on because Bobby was going to play back people that he liked. And I'm listening to some of the clips that he's playing and all of a sudden I hear my voice. And I call my mom and I'm freaking out and I'm like, Mom, they're, I'm on the radio. They're playing my clip. And then from there, producers reached out to me and they asked if I could start the process. And it was a 6-week thing. And some of it I had to ask for the morning off of work so that I could go and do on-air auditions. Mm-hmm. And so it was like the top 10 and then it dwindled down to the top 5. And
you
then
went in the actual studio at that point?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I had
no idea. I always knew like a friendship with Bobby. You met at Culver's. And then I just thought at some point it was a super casual ask of like, hey, you want to do this? But there's a big story in between there of how it actually happened.
You know, the mall thing gets dropped. It's a lot to explain.
Yeah.
So, and we did become friends after that because I did not get the job. So,
okay.
I did not get it.
Wow.
But that was, I was never going to get it. I didn't know that though. I thought, oh, wow, I've made it to the top 2. And, you know, I was going in and I was telling my bosses like, hey, I know that I literally just got a promotion and a raise. but can I have the morning off to go be on the radio? Technically, this isn't me applying for another job, but sort of, you know, like how many bosses can you go to and be like, well, I just put in an application for another job, but they kind of thought, oh, well, this is a fun opportunity. And that's what, you know, my mom was saying all along, because the company I worked for was really amazing. And I worked with a lot of friends and there was opportunity for growth and traveling the world because all the different quarries that you pull the marble and the granite from. And one of my best friends from high school, Luke, like he worked there and was at, you know, 25 was traveling the world.
Wow.
And I thought, okay, I work my way up and I can start to go on some of these trips and that'll just be really special. And I loved working for them. So to give up that job for an unknown, I had zero aspirations for radio and suddenly I'm auditioning at the mall to be in radio. Of course I thought it would be fun, but you know, I wanted security. And I remember Googling how much do radio DJs make? I didn't even know the difference between a DJ and an on-air personality because we're definitely not DJs. And I don't even, Google was even new. Like, I don't even know that Google knew how much radio DJs made. But I thought, okay, well, I'm 24, 25. If there's ever a time for me to do something like this and take a pay cut, because eventually found out
something
it was
that
gonna
felt
be a,
rather risky. Yeah.
A pay cut, that was the age to do it. And so, I guess back to the audition part, I made it to the top 2 and then sort of realized the other girl in the other girl in the top
running.
2,
uh-huh.
She was never at the mall. She is someone that worked in radio and the job was going to her the whole time.
It was just a bit.
Mm-hmm. It was a 6-week long bit.
Wow.
And I was, didn't get it. So I don't know. I was like, so cool. I'm collateral damage here.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So that was fun. And then I go back to my job and then Bobby and I became friends through that. We were doing the same triathlon. So there was times where I was seeing him different places and we were keeping in touch.
Mm-hmm.
He genuinely, I do believe wanted to hire me at the time of the audition,
mm-hmm.
but they had already had this other thing worked out. And the program director at the time was in my mind was sort of like, we're not hiring a random girl from the mall. Like it's not happening. And Bobby didn't have the pull that he eventually would have where it, now if he were to say, well, this is what I want, they'd be like, okay, what if we trust you.
Right.
But at this point, they were like, yeah, we're not going with the girl from the mall. So I think it was probably about 8 months in to that, 8 months later, he called me. And I remember I was at work in the warehouse walking around, I don't know, doing something with tile or slabs or something. And I –
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
I remember just stopping in my tracks when he said, can you go to dinner? We need to talk. And I thought, well, what in the world could this be?
Did you think he was asking you on a date? So if you guys follow our Instagram or watch the episodes on YouTube, you've met Tucker, our golden retriever, who greets our podcast guests when they come over. Unfortunately, my little wild man loves to run through the woods on our property, and naturally, he gets a little dirty, which means he doesn't smell great. Fortunately, I can sprinkle Coat Defense's daily preventative powder on Tucker as a dry shampoo. It's almost like a repellent for dirt. Since we started brushing this into his coat, he stays so much cleaner. He hardly ever scratches anymore, and we don't bathe them as often, which is great news for us and Tucker. We do love this product, and you can try it on your dog or cat by visiting coatdefense.com. Be sure to use the code MAMA15 and you'll get 15% off your purchase. Did you think he was asking you on a date?
No, I've been asked that before, even by friends and my family, when I said, well, I'm going to go meet Bobby for dinner. And yeah. They're like, well, what is this about? I never, ever, ever felt like it was a date. Because That's why I remember thinking, okay, what is this? What is he going to ask me or what's going on? It didn't have date vibes. I feel like that would have, he would have done it a different way.
Yeah.
But I go and I meet him at the restaurant. And he said, okay, well, I'm here to offer you a job. And I was like, hey, look, we kind of been through this before. I really like my job where I am and have so many opportunities. And then I decided, okay, well, I'm going to do it. And I went into my boss's office and I gave my 2 weeks notice and I joined the show. And here's what
did they
happened.
Hire the girl?
Yeah, she was still there.
Okay.
She was still there and we worked together for a little bit. But they were just did some shuffling and moved some stuff around. She's very talented producer, really nice. But I don't, it just, you know, the dynamic, he was looking for something a little bit different. And that was interesting to come into. And I still feel awkward, as you can tell right now, even talking about it, because I felt bad.
For sure.
I'm not trying to come in and take anybody's job.
Right.
But at that point, his contract was about to be up. And I believe he went to the bosses and was like, hey, look, I don't think I was wrong about this 8 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I think we should do it, and I want to bring her on. And they're like, okay, let's see if you're right. And mm-hmm. So I signed my first radio contract. It was a 2-year deal. And honestly, at that point, I thought it was just going to be something for fun for a couple years. Yeah. And during that 2 years, I ended up getting married and he was in the Air Force. So I was going to have to move. And so I quit the show. Like after 2 years, I was done. They even had a going away party for me and I was fine with that. And then Bobby called me and he was like, hey, I need to talk. His contract was up again. His mm-hmm. was a 2-year deal. And so he said, I told him I'm not going to resign unless they put a studio in your house in North Carolina. And I said, shut up. And he said, yeah. And so I did the show from North Carolina for 5 years and then moved back to Austin. And then we moved to Nashville.
So y'all would get on every morning and just be in each other's headset and...
Yeah. Like wow. We were before people during COVID, that's how everything, you know, radio.
Probably took you right
news,
back to those days, right?
Yeah. Well, we had to do that. And we're like, oh, well, we did this for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like working remotely is no problem for us.
Right.
So.
Wow. That's pretty a pretty awesome. Loyal friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loyal friend. And we all had it was a good dynamic and mm-hmm. we didn't want to mess it up. Like we were on a roll and it was sort of like, can't break this up. Like,
yeah.
Between the three of us. Like it was just really... a really good fit.
Right.
So
what is the dynamic of yours and Bobby's friendship outside off the mic? Like, you know, when I think about that, the loyal friend, and obviously, you know, you've been through quite a few valleys and to be so close with him as a coworker and a friend, I'm sure his support has meant everything to you.
Yeah. Everyone on the show has been extremely supportive, especially when we've all been through things. But Bobby's very good about, hey, if that's a family thing, you got to take care of your family, you got to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. If you're not good, then you're no good for us in this room.
Yeah.
Cause smart. Yeah. There were some times where it was really difficult for me, and I would show up to work and I would sit down on the mic and I would try my best to just talk about something silly or whatnot, mm-hmm. but I would just start bawling, crying, mm-hmm. and I'd have to get up and leave. And it was like, okay, yeah, you need to do that and take care of yourself today. And so would he do that for himself? No. He'll power through. I can't remember the year exactly. I know it was in North Carolina, and all of a sudden he gets a phone call during the middle of the show. And it was his sister telling him that his mom died.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know if we were on song break, commercial break, whatever break, but he puts his phone down and he just looks at us and he was like, my mom just died. And so I'm like, and Lunchbox and I are, we start crying, like they're like, but softly, like we're not on air. We're just sort of, we're emotionally
right.
impacted by this news. And he is as well, but he can compartmentalize. And Bobby's just like, okay, we're going to finish the show. And I'm like, we're going to finish the show. Like, we can probably just play some songs, call yeah. it a day. But he went back on air, didn't address it, finished the show.
No one would have ever known.
Nobody knew.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody
That's the knew. Professional side mm-hmm. of him.
And so he was able to do that and then carry on and then break down at home when he needed to. Or I'm sure probably right when he got in his car.
Yeah.
But I can't operate that way. So thankfully, he doesn't expect that of others. Mm-hmm. I didn't handle this
yeah.
correctly, or I should, you know, he's not recommending we handle it like he does. But I'm thankful, because you could have someone that handles it that way that also expects everybody else to,
mm-hmm.
and they, you know, it's like, okay, well, we got a job to do. So get it together.
He kind of gets, he's wired, you know, not like most, I guess.
Yeah.
And he, so he wouldn't have that expectation of you.
He definitely tries to understand how others are wired and knows kind of how to, over the years, I mean, we're coming up on 18 years together, so he knows how to handle each person individually as mm-hmm. any leader should.
Yeah.
You kind of can't, sure. you don't handle everybody the same. And I've grown thicker skin, and I can handle things or not take things too personally mm-hmm. now, because sometimes he can be so business or other people for that matter. I just, from listeners sending mean emails or to, you know, a boss being short on an email, I would always overanalyze it and take everything the wrong way.
Yeah. I think that's built into us as women naturally Woo. Anyway, but then some people are certainly worse. I'm on the worst end of the scale of that myself, of, oh, what did that tone mean? What is that? And it probably didn't mean anything, but I'm going to read into it or overanalyze.
Absolutely. I wasted a lot of brain space, on those sort of things. And mm-hmm. I think with life and age, maturity, different things, I try not to get caught up in that stuff. But yes, I think a lot of women out there, and it is some of the conditioning and ways we are, mm-hmm. when I'll be sending an email, I'll be like, hey, would you mind if, or it's no problem if, you know, things that
apologetic
most men mm-hmm. do not communicate that way in the workspace.
Yeah,
it
not
is
at
just
all.
Very to the point and direct, and there's no apologies about asking for anything, because you're literally asking someone to do what they do as their job.
But right,
we're
right.
like, if you don't mind, or if you have time later today,
there's
or
a problem, let me know.
sorry to bother you, but, and it's yeah. like, why are we this way? So,
it's so true.
I'm really, or have been, and will continue to work on not being that way.
You've gotten better about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it doesn't mean I have to be like super cold and quick and fire stuff off, because yeah. that's just not my personality. But A, I don't need to take offense if that's somebody else's personality in the workspace. And then B, I want to still be myself.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get, you know, walked on mm-hmm. because of how I speak or choose to email.
Yeah.
So I'm working on that. But yeah, when it comes to our environment and people having the opportunity or the flexibility to take care of themselves, I feel extremely blessed, not supported. Just from the you know, Bobby and the show, but just iHeart as a whole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just awesome.
Walking through cancer journeys with both parents and adoption and needing time off to go to Haiti to get the kids, multiple trips, and then taking care of my mom because she's, you know, my sister and I were primary caregivers for both of our parents during their cancer journeys. And so that requires a lot of time and travel. They didn't live here. So
yeah. They're a divorce in the mix. Yeah. I mean, it's been a journey for sure. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned something that I just kind of identify with. And I think it's interesting because you mentioned that you've gotten thicker skin and you've learned to handle the scrutiny a little bit better. But it's so interesting, I think, when you are an on-air personality of any sort. So, you know, even when I was reporting and anchoring, I was in people's living rooms every single day. It was so hard for me to step back and realize, just like you talked about Jill and Bobby, and these people were, you talked about them like they were your friends.
Yeah.
But people around you are like, who are you talking about? But there is something about a daily consistent either being on someone's radio or being in their home that people just feel like they almost get a say. I mean, I can think about some of the emails or the comments that I would get when I, and most people are super supportive and so kind, but then someone else will be like, you know, I liked your hair better the other way, or you shouldn't wear this particular color again. How do you handle, because I know you deal with a lot of that, especially in days of social media and people wanting to speak into your lives or judge you or for something that you said. Has that part of you also grown thicker skin? Can you ignore it?
I don't know that I ignore it right away, but I've definitely gotten better at not giving it much attention or is taking up, you know, again, too much space in my brain. Before social media, it was always emails.
Yes.
And I would probably my first year on air, I would get the emails and then I would sit and I would probably spend an hour writing them back kindly.
Mm-hmm. And probably some apologetic words in there, like you just mentioned.
You know, I just wanted to an opportunity to explain myself. Like, you're listening to me for what, maybe 30 minutes on your commute, or maybe you're listening to the whole show. I don't know. But you don't know all parts of me, or you don't know also what it's like to just be in a room with your friends and goofing off and talking about and saying things off the cuff that, like, oh, shoot, I wish I wouldn't have said that. But too late. It's out there. And people have thoughts and opinions, and they want to judge how you said this or what you said and attack you for decisions you've made about your personal life that they don't agree with or whatever. Mm-hmm. Instead of just being like, okay, cool, this is the morning show I listen to. And of course, we love that people feel invested.
Yes.
That's great. But the rude stuff is just, I don't understand that. It's not my personality. So I would try to, I don't know, convince them otherwise of whatever they said.
You invested way too much time in it, right? Of trying to change someone's perspective.
I would never do that today. Ever. Ever. I don't even know if I would reply. But honestly, when if I would reply, it would not take me an hour. But when I did take time to do those thoughtful replies, I would almost always get a note back and they're like, oh my gosh, I love the show. I wasn't expecting to hear from you. Like, I didn't even know anybody would even get this. Like, you are so funny. And then they would say nice things. I'm like,
interesting.
Okay. So my thing is, oftentimes people just may feel better after firing off something like that, but they don't even think they're sending it to someone real. And they don't even know if someone's even going to see it.
Yep.
So they don't really realize the impact they're making. They have no idea that their email took an hour or more of my day, or days sometimes looping, or when I'm laying my head down to go to sleep and I'm looping in my head some, you know,
derogatory comment or something. Yeah.
Thought. And I've tried to share this with my sister recently too, because she just got into the public spotlight in the last 2 years because her and her husband have a show on HGTV.
Yes,
and
it's called, so good.
It's called Building Roots. And she's just not used to that at all. They approached them. This is not something they auditioned for.
Yeah.
Producers reached out to them on Instagram. They're like, hey, we're looking for a small mountain town in Colorado. Y'all fit the vibe. We love your work. And then her husband was like, yeah, let's do it. And she was like, So anyway, they decided to do it. But now she's on TV. And people send her the rudest things. Like, about her looks or her hair. It looks like she has a bird's nest in there. Or do you even brush your hair? And she'll be like, this is my hair. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like,
have you been able to help her a little bit with, like,
I just say you cannot give them any of your energy. Mm-hmm. Like, and our brains have a negative bias. So the minute we give into it, like, we're going to focus on the negative.
For sure.
Because I was like, Christy, for that one negative, there are so many other positive comments out there. And I think that's what we have to do is realize, okay, my brain is going to focus on this negative. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm going to do is be intentional about focusing on the positive and celebrating the other things so that my brain will start to notice those things more and sort of rewire itself. But I think
are great lessons for anyone. Hey, thanks for listening. Be sure to catch part two of this conversation with Amy as we journey through some of Amy's more difficult days and the lessons that she shares in hopes of encouraging others. In the show notes, I will link the podcast that Amy and I did together in case you want to listen to her Four Things with Amy Brown podcast. And as a reminder, you can watch these episodes on YouTube if you prefer. As always, I'm so thankful for each of our listeners. Be sure to visit our website, gotitfrommamamapodcast.com, where you can sign up for our monthly newsletter.